In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon today comes from Isaiah chapter 40, especially verses 26 through 28. Isaiah writes, "Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? Who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." Excuse me. The scriptures always, and I mean always, 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 point us back to God's perspective. Now, for some of you, that's a pretty obvious thing, right? Because the scriptures, the Bible, is God's word. So we would expect to learn something about God's perspective on things. But so oftentimes we are tempted to look at the characters and the stories of the Bible from man's perspective. We also do the same thing with our lives. We look at their situations in life from our own perspective and not from God's perspective. We're tempted to look at the great characters of Moses and Abraham and Noah and Isaiah even, the disciples, sometimes even Jesus, and we try to take it and look at it from a worldly lens. We start to ask the question, well, how can I be like that person? Or how would that person have felt when such and such a thing happened to him? And those are interesting questions to ask, but we will never know the answer. It's interesting speculation. But what is given to us, what we have recorded in the scriptures, is to show us God's perspective in the lives of his people. And in that end, we can also see God's perspective on our lives as well. And deep down, we know this. We know that the scriptures are fundamentally about Jesus. They're fundamentally about God and what he does in this world for us. Even one of the oldest stories in the Bible really shows us this. Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel, right? Here's Cain and he's tending the fruits of the earth, and you got Abel over here with his livestock, and they're doing their thing. They're continuing on and as brothers, and Abel starts offering his sacrifice, and he brings out the best portions. He brings out the fat portions. Now, the tithe hasn't been instituted at this point, but he goes above and beyond the tithe is the idea. He's giving back to God because he knows that it all belongs to God in the first place. Interesting idea, interesting perspective. Cain has a different perspective. When Cain brings his offerings to the Lord, he brings it kind of like maybe we do sometimes. I've worked pretty hard this week. I know I went out to eat last night. Okay, well, I got about $5, and that should be good, right? Cain approaches his offering to the Lord as if he is the owner of the goods. In other words, he's starting to make an idol out of things. Something that we see all over the Bible. That's his perspective. And so God actually intervenes in this story and comes down and tells Cain, and he says, "Cain, look, sin's crouching right at your door. You're starting to claim things that aren't even yours. And if you keep going down this way, it will consume you. It will devour you. You know it's not yours to begin with. So offer the first fruit offerings. And then you will find favor." Well, we know how the story ends. Cain doesn't want to offer the first fruits. Cain thinks he's the owner of things. Cain starts to become jealous. And he sacrifices his brother on the altar of greed and power and ambition. I wonder what would have been cheaper at the end of the day. To offer up his offerings to God or take his brother's life. You always wonder if maybe he not just regretted, but I wonder if he ever realized the cost ratio, so to speak. Then there's another great story. We could do this with all sorts of stories in the Bible, but there's another great story that I was reminded of when I was doing my research for this sermon, and that was Elijah. Now, Elijah has all sorts of great stories that we could tell. We could talk about chariots of fire, all these type of things, but there's one incident that happens in Elijah's life. He's going to call down fire from heaven. You might remember the story. There's the prophets of Baal, the priests of Baal, they're over there, and they're going to set up their sacrifice on one altar, and Elijah's going to set up a sacrifice on the other altar, and the game is to see whose God is going to set the sacrifice alight. What God is going to offer up a sacrifice to himself. Interesting, think Jesus right there. Now, that's not the actual story I want to get to. Suffice it to say, Elijah's sacrifice by God, Yahweh itself, is burned up, and then the prophets of Baal, the priests of Baal, are put to death. Now, Elijah has just seen fire from heaven come down and consume a sacrifice. He has just seen God wipe out his enemies when the prophets of Baal are put to death, but now he's got a problem. Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel don't like him. And so they pursue Elijah. They send the guards after him. They send the army after him. And Elijah runs. He's terrified. He's losing his mind. He runs away. Yeah, God set the offering on fire, but man, he can't do anything for Elijah. So he runs out into the wilderness. And in this part of the story, he sits down. I believe it's by a tree in this particular part. 1 Kings 19, I believe it is. And he sits there and he complains to God. God, everything is horrible. Everything is wrong. Go ahead and kill me now because I can't deal with this. This is too much pressure. This is too much stress. And God has to intervene. And God has to show his perspective on the story. Look, everything that you have done was to show my power and my might. You are my witness. You are bearing my witness into the world. This isn't just for you. This is for the others as well, that they might have peace, and I am the one who gives peace. You might be suffering now in this world. People might be trying to literally kill you right now, but it is to bring the world peace. That the message of my son would go forward. It's God's perspective. And we could go on and on and on about man's perspective versus God's perspective in the Bible. But let's bring it into our lives. Because I don't think we're much different from Elijah or Cain, depending on our mood of the day. Or really any biblical character. We all have deep-seated in us that part of humanity that is evil, that has wicked desires, and that is capable of far worse things than you and I are really willing to admit. That probably scare us. We all have the same original sin that allows the monsters of this world to do the worst possible things they could possibly do to each other. And just a guess, we are really, really good at coming up with our own opinions on our lives and the lives of others, aren't we? Life happens. Our best laid plans go to waste, and sometimes there are plans we have made and talked about and dreamed about and thought about until we're almost sick of our own plan, and we know it's going to work, and then life happens, and we go into a tailspin, and things don't go our way. You lose your job. You start fighting with your kids or your spouse or both. You look like your marriage is coming to an end. You lose someone you love dearly in life, and life just seems dark without them. The doctor comes in the room and says it's cancer. The bank calls you up and says they're calling in the mortgage. And I know these things happen because I've been in such situations where the world seems like it's falling out from under you, where things don't seem to be going your way. And you start looking at it from your perspective. 5-6 years ago when the doctor over there at neurology came in the room and told me I had the beginnings of MS or Lou Gehrig's disease, I thought it was over. That's it. Maybe I've really messed up and God's calling me out. Maybe I could have done something to make this not happen. Maybe I should have enjoyed a life a little bit more. Maybe I could get some more time and maybe change in my lifestyle and then I could stave it off. My perspective was changed. All of a sudden, I didn't really care about God's plans in life. I didn't really care about any God's word. I just cared about what I could do today to make my life better. There's fear. You get scared. And then the word from the prophet Isaiah today reminds us of God's perspective. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. Who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of his might and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. God says, hey, look up. You see those stars, those planets that are still flying around up there? You see those constellations and shooting stars, the moon and everything else? Yeah, I made it. I called them out. I know them all by names. You guys are still trying to name stars. Not one star disappears into a black hole unless I say so. That starry night that you've seen for all your years and all your grandparents' years, they saw it, and all their grandparents' years, they saw it. I'm in control of that. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Think about that. Why do we feel as if God could abandon us or we could be hidden from God? The one who holds the sky and the world and the universe, how can we think that he doesn't know of our situation in life? That's some God perspective, isn't it? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint and he does not grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He doesn't get tired. You do. I do. He doesn't. He keeps providing. He keeps taking care of his creation. And he knows what's best for it. His understanding is unsearchable, Isaiah says. And in the same way, our Lord Jesus speaks the same truth. In our gospel lesson, Jesus, God in the flesh, gives us perspective for our life. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. But the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish. For joy that a human being has been born into this world. So also you have sorrow now. But I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus doesn't hold back. Yeah, you are going to weep in this world. You're going to have hardships in this world. And Jesus, in his perspective, knows this. And he tells you straight up. A lot of that hardship can and will come your way because we worship Jesus. And like the woman in childbirth. Yeah, before the epidural was invented. When the changes and chances of life hit us and it feels overwhelming and we feel as if the world itself could just end. Not that I've ever been in labor, ladies. We also know that it comes to an end. And when it is all over, the suffering that is, our life will never end in Christ. The crucified Lamb of God has given his life for you that your sorrow may one day end in him. And in that day, Jesus says, when all has been completed in the kingdom of heaven, you will ask nothing from me. Because in that day, in heaven itself, you will fully see God's perspective. Your sorrow, your lamentation, your laments, all these things, they will make sense. You will fully have everything that belongs to Him. Until that day, though, continue to pray and ask for God's perspective in life. May we see our suffering through our Savior's wounds. May we seek out His word for our day, believe it, and live by it. My brothers and sisters in Christ, today in Christ, no matter what hardships you face in life, no matter if you can see it now or not, joy belongs to you. Amen.